Hi, everybody. This is Lisa Minnini. Welcome to the Success Circle. I want to welcome everyone, including the new Success Circle members. This is the Business Accelerator call. And what is this call all about? Well, I've got a great guest for you today who I'm going to introduce in just a moment. You're going to love her. And the purpose of today's call is to take a deeper dive into the Entrepreneurial Edge system and one aspect of marketing. And that's what we're going to focus on today, is all about the business of self-forgiveness, overcoming marketing mistakes. We've all made them, and today you're going to make less of them because of the information you're going to get today. Before we get started, I just want to let you know that this call is being recorded, and you'll also get a copy of it in CD in the mail. So look for your mail in a few weeks, and you'll see it for your mobile library so you can listen to it over and over. I also want to make sure that everybody is aware that August 28th through the 30th, How to Self-Publish Your Book and Achieve Bestseller Status with the Bestseller Profit System series that's going on, a huge support. I'm going to show you step by step the system to not only get your book on the bestsellers list, but how to stay on the bestsellers list and some of the profit systems even after your book has been on that list. So you don't want to miss that. You can register under virtual events at accelerateassociates.com. And don't forget, you do have a coupon code for half off the early bird special, tuition, and you can just use coupon code BESTSELLERPROFIT, SM, and in the coupon code, and that is regular $14.97 for the entire program, and if you get in before August 3rd, it's only $4.97, so you want to take advantage of that. Lots of support during the whole process. You get unlimited email support, so check that out. And let's just get going, because I just love what we're going to cover today. My good friend and six-time Emmy Award winner, Sean DuPerrin, is here to talk about the business of self-forgiveness. So if you're tired of watching your competitors thrive and have better product or service, and you want to really get out there in a meaningful way, we're going to show you how your social media mistakes are gold, how they're gold, and how to transform them into strategies that work. Sean is also going to review how to avoid the worst types of posts on Facebook and Twitter. You're going to love what you hear today, because it's really different. And she's also going to share the two secrets behind Facebook fan pages that attract customers that love your page, not just like your page, love your page, and the top skill to forgiving yourself quickly in business, and how to move into clean, impactful marketing clarity, and how to convert all of your marketing efforts for the biggest bang. So I want to introduce Sean DuPerrin, six-time Emmy Award winner. She's taught thousands, and I mean thousands, how to lead using universal themes of love, fear, and forgiveness in the workplace. Sean works with corporations, entrepreneurs, universities, and government agencies across the globe. She's flying everywhere. I think you came back from Greece recently, I think, Sean. And she's a PhD candidate in gossip, has interviewed many presidents, has filmed hundreds of celebrities. You've seen her featured in major media, including CNN, ABC, Inc. Magazine, USA Today. That's just a few of the many. Her personal passion is forgiveness, and her story of overcoming child sexual abuse has inspired thousands of people. And her movement on global forgiveness was created through a film called Project Forgive. And the film's five-minute video has been seen by tens of thousands, and it has gone viral. So, Sean, welcome to the Success Circle.
Well, how you talk about me, it's like, dang, I want to know her. Dang. It's awesome to be here. It's awesome to be here, Lisa. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. You're welcome. You know, people get social media wrong, right? And why do they need to forgive themselves for, rather?
For getting it wrong. Yeah. You know what? Yeah, because everybody's like, you know, a lot of times, like in your personal Facebook page or whatever, you're like, you see it a lot. Someone will say, go like my business page, you know, comes to my business page. What mm-hmm. is the trick? How come some people in their Facebook page, isn't that great? When you go to another speaker or a business owner or a dentist, and you, their page isn't that great, but they got great engagement, and
yes.
they've got a lot of likes and a lot of fans. And sometimes you're sitting there scratching your head, and you're saying, what the hey is going on here? And actually, if yours is not doing that, all that really is saying is something's missing. That's it. It's like the strategy mm-hmm. you've done so far doesn't work. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And what can you do mm-hmm. next? And what you can do next is like listen and hang out with Lisa, hang out with you, Lisa, to learn mm-hmm. some of the newer strategies because social media is changing so fast.
Yeah.
And what is the key to attracting fans and attracting clients in social media? And that's what we're going to talk about that today.
Oh, excellent. Because I want to know what are some of the strategies, some of the great yeah. strategies.
Yeah, and here's what's so important about this conversation. The strategies for every single medium in social media, whether it's Facebook, whether it's Twitter, whether it's Pinterest, whether it's LinkedIn, they all have specific strategies. It's, you know, and I work a lot in diversity. I work in a lot of multicultural realms. I mm-hmm. can't have the – like last night I spoke at Nishimba, which is one of my favorite groups. I got to put in a word-of-mouth plug for them, the National Society
okay.
for Hispanic MBAs, okay?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Last night I did a training for them, and they call me La Reina Rubia. I'm the blonde queen. Una estrella de cine. I'm the movie star, okay? And there's a playful energy playing in the Latino community that I do not have when I have, like, a woman audience that's primarily white. There's nothing wrong. I have to change my style or shift my style. Doesn't mean I'm inauthentic at all. I have
right.
to shift my style for those different audiences. And the same is true for social media. So one of the biggest mistakes people make when you have zero – here's the, I want to say this before I go. When you know all the rules and you have an extreme, exquisite engagement on Facebook or any medium, mm-hmm. once you know the rules and you've got engagement, then you can break them all. But if you don't have engagement on a specific medium, you got to follow the rules to get the engagement. Then you can break them all. So here's one of the biggest mistakes that business owners make on Facebook. If you have very little engagement and very little likes, quit posting articles on Facebook.
Quit posting articles, really?
Yeah. After you have a following and engagement, you can do a lot of different things. But this is when you're building a following and building a tribe for your business.
Okay.
Think about, like, your use. When you go on Facebook, Lisa, like, you're going on there quick. You might come see what I'm saying because, you know, I post a lot of funny stuff, like really sarcastic
yeah.
funny stuff. Right?
Yeah,
like, what's
yeah.
John saying today? Or, you know, whatever. And we go through Facebook quick. Like, you're
yeah.
looking at posters, the actual pictures, or memes, M-E-M-E. That's what they're really called, are memes. And you're like, oh, that makes you laugh. You'll like it and share it. Or, oh, that's so touching. I want to share that. Or, oh, that's so inspiring. That makes me want to share or like it. But it's a very quick process. The only time you really read an article on Facebook is if you're deeply engaged with someone because you trust their judgment and know that it's an article worth reading.
Good point.
Yeah, Facebook is quick, simple, light, fun, and I've created different strategies on my Facebook page. Like on Project Forgive, really focus on the inspire. You know, our engagement is amazing now. We just crossed over 20,000 fans, and as soon as you hit a certain amount, it starts growing. I think 20,000 fans was 2 days ago, and since those 2 days, we're at 20,400. So 400 in 2 days, because you hit a threshold, a momentum gets built. Where it just starts going faster and faster and faster because people are virally gossiping about you because you're hitting the sweet spot. And so we're hitting our sweet spot. And, you know, Lisa, you and I are in Teresa DeGrobois's group, the Evolutionary Business Council, right?
Right, right.
And this is a group of 150 people who are speakers and trainers and thought leaders across the globe who are like creating together to cause global transformation for businesses and business owners and entrepreneurs or whatever. And the key question I hear all the time, and what's gonna be your decision on Facebook? Like, what's gonna be your theme? What are you gonna say? Because if you think about it, business Facebook pages, there's certain ones you go to because you know what you're gonna get. It's consistent.
Mm-hmm.
When people come to Project Forgive, they know They're going to be inspired. They're going to be challenged. It's going to be quotes that you don't normally see, inspirational quotes you don't normally see, like, you know, accept the apology you never received. It's a high level of conversation. To me, that's the highest level of forgiveness you can possibly have, accepting an apology that you're never going to get. That, to me, is maturity. You don't see a poster like that very often.
No,
so
you don't.
My audience is I've trained them in a beautiful way that they're going to get good material that's sound, that's high maturity level in spiritual realms or whatever. And our page is nonpartisan and non-religious. So someone who's in who like embraces all religions would be very attracted to our page. And talking to the EBC, here's the biggest problem that business owners have when they're focusing on Facebook and what to share. Because you'll, you know, I'll say to somebody, you know, like, you know this too, because you're a marketing genius, right? What is your targeted demographic? And someone will say, everybody, everybody can buy my toothpaste. Everybody can benefit from this. But that's the wrong answer. That's baby talk.
Yes. Yeah.
That's baby talk. It is.
Yeah.
And when you get this, that that's baby talk, that's when you're going to be taken seriously by other people who are exquisite at marketing and want to joint venture with you, want to partner with you, want to buy your product. Because when you pick a demographic, you get clarity. You are authentic in your sharing and your marketing. And when you're authentic and sharing and clarity in your marketing, when you have that, that's when you start attracting everybody.
Right. Right, be exact to attract. That's what I always say.
Beautiful, beautiful. Because someone say, I'm like Oprah. I help everybody. Well, I'll tell you what. Okay.
Oprah doesn't help everybody.
Yeah, she doesn't. But here's the thing. Like, because I know Oprah's sponsorship, vice president of sponsorship, really well. When they first started targeting, you know, some 25 years ago when she started, the demographic wasn't everybody.
Right.
Okay. The demographic, right. I'm trying to remember, I think it was like 35-year-old women, stay-at-home women who wanted to empower their lives. That's a targeted demographic. Okay. And over time, because when you're that clear on your demographic, your messaging gets very authentic and clear. And when you're authentic and clear, that's when you start attracting everybody. And we did the same thing for Project Forgive, for instance. I targeted a 50-year-old woman like me. I'm 49. 50 years old, savvy, a big mouth. And a big mouth to me is someone who has word-of-mouth power. Like when someone says, like if I say, go see that movie, everyone will go see the movie. Okay?
Right.
Like that kind of word-of-mouth power. They're not necessarily rich, but they're influential with their money. People listen to them. And they care about people. Okay? They deeply care about generating others. That's my targeted demographic. And she might even be a, she might even be a grandma, okay? And that does it. And so, being that clear voice in the demographic with Facebook, does that mean we don't attract 20-year-olds who are in domestic violence? No, we attract droves of them. Does that mean we don't attract teachers? No. Oh my gosh, the number of teachers that come to us and ask us to be on radio shows just targeted for teachers, for instance. War veterans. We just did a radio show with 200,000 on Patrick Walter with war veterans. When you get clear on your demographic, this 50-year-old grandma, it gives the freedom for everyone else to come, and you can hit everybody, and it comes from your targeted demographic. And when I say targeted demographic, I mean you write that, your copy, your website, everything comes from that demographic, writing to that demographic. The clarity is there, and that's when you have permission to start attracting everybody. That's what happens naturally.
That is, and that just paints such a great picture, because the Success Circle members hear this from me all the time. You know, get really clear on your preferred client profile and get very specific, because if you don't, if there's all this, I work with anybody who, which are the five words that'll kill any sale or any relationship, I work with anybody who, that if they, once they get clear, their messaging becomes so spot on that when the person's reading it, they're so attracted, like a magnet, right? They're so attracted to it that they come. And like you said, it doesn't exclude anyone else. You're going to naturally attract people who are attracted to that messaging.
And
so what – go ahead.
Yep. I was just going to add, too, because Shawn TV, so I have this communication leadership training company is what I spend a lot of time in.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I train in, like, high levels of leadership and media training, networking, communication leadership, forgiving yourself in business. And I target corporations primarily. And
mm-hmm.
I have a large entrepreneurial following. And as this has evolved in my verbiage, in my marketing, like, I have a large following of chiropractors now.
Mm.
Is my verbiage in my website talk about chiropractors? No.
No.
And I have a large chiropractor following. I have a large dental following.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because as I start targeting marketing in those different markets, I can move my verbiage around, like on interviews or when I'm selling a program and how it would apply to that market. But you got to have that first clarity in your original marketing. And that's what's going to attract people with money, because people with money usually have a targeted demographic and they understand this game. When you don't have it, we know, and you're not
mm-hmm.
in the club. You're not in my
mm-hmm.
club, because I see you as a baby.
Mm-hmm.
I see you as not something of value. If you don't even have your targeted demographic, how can you possibly help me? You need my help. That's what I
mm-hmm.
think.
Right. So what are the worst mistakes that you see people make?
Well, how about we'll go through a few of the social media stuff and maybe even some on camera stuff. Let's do that. Is that sound
perfect?
Good?
Perfect.
All right. So, biggest mistake on Facebook is putting up articles when you have no engagement.
Okay.
That's the biggest mistake. Period. The another big mistake is to not go in the highlighted times when people are on Facebook. Hands down, the best time to post a poster or a meme is 3 o'clock on Wednesday. It's the best time. 3 o'clock, I always have some kind of a poster or a meme go up on Shawn TV or go up on Project Forgive at 3 o'clock every single day.
Mm.
So strategic times are really important. 9 o'clock is a great time. 3 o'clock is a great time. You got to gauge as you go, as you start learning this phase.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to gauge when are going to be the perfect times. Like right now, Project Forgive, I have set 3 go up a day. On the Shawn Duperin one, I have 4 go up a day. Also
mm-hmm.
during the day, we add different memes during the day as well, depending on engagement, what's going on during the day. So that's more advanced. Mistake
okay.
on Twitter. Biggest mistake on Twitter for business owners is posting your Facebook page.
People post their Facebook page, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they say, go look at my newest Facebook post. Like, really? Really?
That's assuming the person's on Facebook. They may not be.
But most people are, but people on Twitter don't care about Facebook.
Yeah.
Not when you're on Twitter. Twitter is a different game.
Yeah.
Twitter is a different game. And what works to start off, to start the engagement, is to start quoting quotes. Make sure they're 100 characters or less. 140 is your max. Start
mm-hmm.
at 100, because when you're below you're at 100, people can retweet you.
Yeah.
The game is engagement and retweeting.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in a higher level of conversation around Twitter, like the average person who's got good engagement on Twitter might be retweeted 10 to 15 times per month. Like, that's considered good.
Hmm.
Okay?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Project Forgive and Shawn TV, we're at 800 retweets a month.
Wow.
And there's a reason why. And I'm going to give a couple of things that work. Is that okay?
Perfect.
So first of all, you will never see me retweet someone say, thank you for the retweet. That's just noise. That's noise. If somebody who has 40,000 followers retweeted me, I go into their feed and
mm-hmm.
retweet one of theirs. I give them influence right back and retweet one of theirs.
Mm-hmm.
It's much more influential to retweet one of theirs than to thank them for the retweet.
Mm.
It's not rude. It's not considered rude. If you retweet someone of influence who's retweeted you, you're telling them, I'm savvy, I get this game, and I'm going to give you influence back. Thank you so much. You're already saying thank you
mm-hmm.
by retweeting them.
Mm-hmm. That's brilliant.
It works.
That's brilliant.
That's
yeah.
why I get so much retweeting.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a strategy. I have 5 tweets a day that go out on Shawn TV, 5 tweets a day on Project Forgive. Strategic times. The best time to tweet is between 1 and 3 o'clock. Monday and
mm-hmm.
Sunday, Saturday and Sunday I include, just because I've trained them that I've got tweets coming out at that time.
Beautiful.
1 to 3 o'clock. So I have preset tweets in Hootsuite, and I've created a system because I know systems work. You know this very
mm-hmm.
well. You train
mm-hmm.
in systems. I get a tweet that goes out at 1 o'clock, 1:32, 2:33. And you're like, oh my gosh, it's so much work. Actually, it's not.
No,
it's a system.
Now, Sean, is that Eastern time? Does it matter?
Yeah, for me, it's Eastern time.
Okay.
So it's your time of whatever 1 o'clock is, whatever your time
is. Okay, got it. Okay, got it.
Yep. And so I place those in there, and that's the ideal times to do it. And going back to Facebook, let's go back to Facebook. My Sean DePerrin, let me do a comparison with Facebook and Twitter. And I just want to say that I've just learned this by doing it. And because if something doesn't work, I have to pay attention and say, let's try something else. So I take a risk. Sometimes I make miserable mistakes. Why I'm so good at this is because I can forgive myself quickly. It's not that deep. Grieve my losses, willing to take the risks. It's public humiliation sometimes. But you know what? The more you publicly humiliate yourself and apologize, the more people fall in love with you. It's just the way it works. You know, we just did a huge webinar yesterday. I'm known for my webinars. My webinars, which is a strategy I use on LinkedIn.
Okay.
We had the webinar go out yesterday. We've got hundreds of people on the webinar. And it was hosted in Mississippi. Here I am in Detroit. They had huge internet issues. The phone lines weren't working. So the webinar was coming in and out. It lasted about 10 minutes. We started getting emails in. We just shut down the webinar. Okay? There was issue, but there's nothing we could have done, right?
Right.
So I immediately set up an email. Hey, you guys, the internet is wonky. I'm so, so frickin' sorry. We're going to get it together. We'll give you a clean feed of this webinar. We'll probably get it out tomorrow. It's actually going out this morning. Okay?
Okay.
Because you are so busy, I'm also going to give you two other things. I'm going to give you our audio of top 9 on-camera mistakes, and I'm going to give you crisis communication for your troubles. I'm so sorry. Life happens. Thank you for forgiving me. The emails we got were awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, Sean. The problem turned into a bonus for my business.
Right, right.
Because, like, these two gifts that I gave, they're $57 each. I saw them on my website, right? They're bestsellers. They're I want people to listen to them, not necessarily to make $57, which is fine. That's not how I make my living, though, okay?
Right, right.
It's because they get cemented in being with me, and they really get to see I know my stuff and I'm really good. And the more skills I give you, the more you enjoy being with me, the more you're going to buy from me. It's just simply how it works.
Right.
If I deliver exquisite content and I am just a joy to be with, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So it worked out just beautiful. 10 years ago, this would have been disastrous. Oh, my gosh, the webinar crashed. How embarrassing. Oh, my brand. Baloney.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's like, oops. Yeah, and not only that, they want, I mean, what a way to turn, you know, what would have been something that, you know, could have gone into something viral and, oh, man, it wasn't working, to something that turned into a viral good thing because you gave them something for their troubles, something of value,
you know,
and they're going to get the webinar again, you know, when it works, right?
And the webinar is kick butt. It's that my webinars are that good. They are. They're really,
I know
really
they are. I've attended your webinars. They are.
They're a lot of fun. They're very engaging. We did get one email that was horrifically nasty. It was horrible. And they sent it to Hailey from my office. Anyone who hangs out with me knows I adore Hailey. She is the goddess of all goddesses.
Yes, the Mission Control Maven.
The Mission Control Maven. And Hailey is just as famous as me, okay? It's because she's just exquisite. And they sent this nasty email to Hailey, and I was ticked off. I'm like, oh, my God, they just went on and on. Mari Smith would never do this. You are so unprofessional, blah, blah, and I was really mad. So here I am, and this is how the process of forgiveness looks, okay? I'm reading her email. I'm starting to respond to her, like answering what happened. Please let me explain, and I'm saying this. And what I really wanted to say in the state or the feelings I was in the moment was I wanted to say, and with that said, please never purchase our products again. This is what I wanted to say. I didn't say this.
Right.
This is what I wanted.
Right.
This is my process. Never purchase our products again because we only deal with kind and loving people. And that's really the truth. We only deal with kind and loving people. And I said, okay, Sean, so you got that out. You didn't send it. You know, you got that out. And can you look at this with fresh eyes? She thinks she's going to get the webinar all crappy again. She thinks we're just going to send her the crappy record. Who cares if I get the record if I can't understand it? That was her understanding. So it calmed me down. I was able to look at it with fresh eyes, and that's what forgiveness is all about. Doesn't mean your feelings go away or whatever. You're able to look at something with fresh eyes. I really saw it through her perspective. Nothing for me to defend, because of course I'm not going to send her one that's all crappy. It's not going to happen.
Right.
She doesn't know that, right?
No, she doesn't know that, right.
No, but that's okay. But just because she's saying, Sean, you have green eyes, I know my eyes are blue. I don't need to convince her that I have blue eyes.
Mm-hmm.
I can be loving. I can respond. Here you go. I've refunded your money. You know, I wish you only the best. That's all there was to say. The one thing I did get in there in terms of gossip is I said, you know, technology snafus happen. What was most extraordinary about this technology snafu is that the amount of emails we received of people being so excited about receiving the gifts and understanding technology issues was so beloved to me and the people that we do business with. Your email was very different than others, and I really wanted to address it, so that's why I'm personally responding. The email was beautiful. It was done without shaming her and letting her know, actually training her, that you can't send an email like this. It's inappropriate, not just in business, but in human interaction. It was inappropriate. We don't have permission to be crappy to people. I don't care how upset you are. If you're crappy to someone, separate of your business, in other businesses, like if you get mad at the Starbucks girl or whatever, that says a lot about you. And people aren't going to want to play with you. I don't want a client like that, do you?
Right. Or somebody who's always complaining on Facebook, right?
Yeah.
And posting. I mean, who wants to be a part of it? It's going to repel people, not bring them towards you.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least the kind you want, right?
the kind you want to work with. Absolutely. I'm sorry, I went off on a tangent. I remember you asked me something else. I don't even know if I answered the question. Will you just
You did, because I think that Sean, that's just such an important lesson, though, in how we respond to anything is how we respond to everything.
Yeah. Yep.
And that you want to respond the way you want others to respond. You know, so I think one thing that you said, if you want likes, are you liking other people's? If you want to be retweeted, are you the cycle of reciprocity? Are you retweeting somebody else?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, and back to the Twitter thing. So instead of saying thank you for the retweet, what I do is my authentic voice. It doesn't mean it's authentic for you. It's like what works for you. This is what's working for me because I get so many retweets, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I like to acknowledge everyone that retweets me. That's important to me. Okay, I might sit for a couple of hours and copy and paste all those that retweeted me, looking specifically at those that have a following of 2,000 or less, okay, because they have less influence, okay?
Okay, uh-huh.
So I will do a tweet that says joy to with a little heart, or adoring, or hugs, or thinking of you, or whatever, and do a bunch of them at once. So I can give some energy back to them. I'm never thanking them for the retweet, though. I'm just giving them energy, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm giving them energy. Pardon me. If someone with like 500 follows keeps retweeting me over and over and over, I am going to retweet them. Because I'm thinking strategically, like a marketer, I want to retweet people that have large followings. I want to do that.
Right.
And double whammy bonus, if I retweet someone who has a 40,000 following and they retweeted someone with 100,000 following, let's say I retweet their retweet. It sounds confusing, but it's high-level influence game playing.
Where do you find that people really get stopped?
In marketing?
In marketing, yeah. Because, you know, you talk about forgiving yourself quickly. Where do they get stuck?
I'm going to talk about Marilyn Suttle. Marilyn won't care if I talk about her with us, okay?
Okay.
All right, so Marilyn Suttle is a good girlfriend of ours. She's been on your show.
Mm-hmm.
We're in Mastermind together.
I'm
successful. I do really well. And one of the places I've really struggled that I see a lot of business owners struggle is in cash flow.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I get busy, I'm doing events, I'm going to Greece, I'm doing all these things. I'm like, oh, crap. I don't have money to make the bills this month because I don't have that training that's, you know, $10,000 this month, whatever. Oh, my gosh, I haven't been paying attention to my cash flow. And cash flow is king.
Mm-hmm.
Cash flow is king. And the biggest mistake people make in their marketing is they keep hoping and praying. They try things with not an interest in their cash flow. So I'm going to give you an example with Marilyn. Marilyn, I had a call with Marilyn yesterday. She's like, help me out with Google Hangouts. I want you to get your feedback because I really want to grow my following on Google Hangouts. Well, she's really focused on generating her cash flow. And mm-hmm. I'm like, I said out loud to her, okay, some people like Google Hangouts. It's still new And mm-hmm. how can you monetize Google Hangouts? Mm-hmm. She says, well, I'm not doing it to monetize. I'm doing it to grow my influence. Well, I'm like, well, if you're in cash flow crunch, you're wasting your time.
Right.
Drop the Google Hangout thing. Don't sit here and spend a whole week. And she knows Jack Canfield and all those guys from Chicken Soup for the Soul. Mm-hmm. She's got all these
mm-hmm.
people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You'd be better off spending your hour of marketing calling Jack Canfield and saying, hey, I need some speaking gigs. I really do. I need
mm-hmm.
your help. You've seen me speak. You think I'm awesome. I need some leads. She
yep.
needs cash flow right now.
Right.
That's a better spent time in marketing. So when I make marketing choices, I've got my cash flow in mind. Is my cash flow in good places? Because your cash flow is going to determine where you spend your marketing time.
Yes, yes.
Right?
Yep.
And a lot of times we make decisions hoping and praying something's going to happen, okay? And the reason I like to talk about social media is because it's growing, it's blah, 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 blah. In my world, getting on TV, on the local news, is much more powerful than social media. It's a higher echelon. Because when you get on TV news, you can put it in your social media.
Right, yeah.
Which is a bigger level of influence.
Right. Sharon
right?
McGrill is really, she's a master at that, I think.
Yeah,
she's really good at that.
And then how do you leverage it once you get it? Because it's huge credibility. You get interviewed
yeah.
by ABC. You know, I just got back from Greece. I got a full-page article. The largest newspaper in Greece did a full-page article.
Oh, wow.
They treated me like Angelina Jolie. Okay? That's how I felt. And, it was awesome. And this article is so impressive. So, like, last night when I spoke, I'm showing the different ways, you know, like, to get influence in corporate leadership, because when you have word of mouth as someone who's interviewed by the media, you know, you really raise the bar as a person in a business, a person in a corporate ladder, to get more money in your job, okay?
Right.
Same
mm-hmm.
is true with you as a business owner, okay? It's just true.
Mm-hmm.
And when
mm-hmm.
you hold up that you're on a cover of a magazine, even though it's Canada, like, I like being famous in Canada, it's fun,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
It's really impressive. It creates credibility.
Yeah.
And how do you leverage that when you're closing a deal? That's the game.
Now, you've talked about Facebook. You've talked about Twitter. You kind of went into LinkedIn.
I love LinkedIn.
Tell us more about LinkedIn. You know, what are some things that you have found hugely successful? I know you do your webinars, and you really focus your marketing when it's your webinars on LinkedIn. Why do you do that?
All right, so here's the trick to LinkedIn. LinkedIn is, I would personally, even though I spend a lot of time on Facebook with engagement because we're creating funding for Project Forgive, I really give that a lot of energy. LinkedIn is my favorite medium, especially
mm-hmm.
if you're a business that targets other business owners. If you're B2B or corporations hire you or universities hire you or other business owners, excuse me, sorry, this is your demographic. Oh, my gosh,
mm-hmm.
the average person
mm-hmm.
on LinkedIn, I think the income now is at $115,000.
Yes. I love
and
LinkedIn.
Some kind of
yep.
leader. You can find anybody on LinkedIn. You can
yeah.
access anyone. But this is what I've been doing for 5 years. There's no overnight success on LinkedIn. This just doesn't
mm-hmm.
exist.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime I meet someone, I get their card. And sometimes I'll say, hey, I'm going to link in with you. I link
yep.
in with everybody. It's just a gathering of a network. Just the most basic thing you can do on LinkedIn, the only chore, is whoever you meet, connect with them. So you start
yep.
building your base. Now, as a speaker, I have an advantage because I speak to lots and lots and lots of people. So I have a huge LinkedIn base. And here's why. When I go speak, I have them fill out an evaluation form. I have their email. I have their name. We methodically go in every single time I speak and link in with everyone. Let
yep.
me give you an example.
Yep.
I was just in Greece. Their unemployment rate is 60%.
Mm.
60%. They're in a lot of pain. Most of the people in the audience, they were not business owners. They were people looking for a job. I knocked it out of the park with my speaking. You get to a point where your product is so good, your service is so good. I'm a good speaker now, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know this, Lisa. You're
Oh, yeah. You're
good at
exquisite.
What I do. I showered them with gifts. They're in pain. I showered them with gifts. They came to my booth. They all gave me their names and their emails. I linked in with everyone. It doesn't mean physically that I do it. I have a staff. I say, here,
right.
Jesse, here, link in with all these people. I go into my LinkedIn now and hit Athens, Greece. I have 150 connections in Greece. I am going back to Greece. I've been in conversations with KLM, Delta, to sponsor me going back to Greece. When I go back to Greece and do a public event, I will email that location. That's one of the benefits of LinkedIn. I can go right to Athens, Greece, and say, hey, I'm coming in. Delta, KLM is sponsoring an event. That isn't true yet, but that's what I'll, you know, plan on doing.
Right, right.
You are invited to come. KLM is sponsoring this. Those people are going to come. I've got a following now in Greece because of my LinkedIn connection.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? And anyone who asks to link in with me, I give them a personal response. Thank you for connecting with me. It's a delight to meet
right.
you. If it's somebody influential, like I don't even know this guy. This guy emails me, links in with me. He's from New York. He's called the psychic lawyer. Okay. And I'm like, brand, okay? I don't even know this guy. So the psychic lawyer. So I go look at his profile. And by the way, the LinkedIn webinar that we just did was about how to write an exquisite profile that people want to connect with you, okay?
Oh, love it.
So he links in with me, and I go look at his profile. It's kick butt. He's on ABC, NBC. Like, he's like my ideal client. Even though he's on all kinds of media, he's going to want to hang out with me to make him more A++++ on camera. Those people are really attracted to me. And I'm reading his thing, and I'm like, what a hoot. And I just email him back and just say, love it, psychic lawyer, what a hoot. He links in, he sends me back an email in LinkedIn and says, I want to talk to you. I'm like, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's just simply how it evolves, right?
Yeah.
Well,
and, you know, a lot of people think it's so different, you know, but that's not unlike what you would say to somebody you just met in person. Right?
Exactly.
But somehow people think that, you know, online it's different, you know, and they go right to push mode and sell, and it's about the relationship. It's about cultivating the relationship.
Absolutely. And you know this, it's sex on the first date. No sex on the first date.
That's
No. You got to send candy and flowers. And that's where discernment comes in. When your desperation is lowered and your cash flow is going good, your discernment gets higher, because then you can see. Because granted, I do get a lot of people on LinkedIn will say, I want to have a conversation with you. Can we meet for coffee? I want to talk to you. And I have to, I might say, send a second LinkedIn email and say, can you please just tell me a little bit more about what this is about?
Yes.
And if it's they have a TV show, because I get hundreds of requests, I have a TV show, I have an idea, I need a producer, I'm not interested. I could spend my whole week just meeting with people and helping them with their ideas. I would never make a living. I can't do that.
Well,
right?
It's funny, Teresa DeGrobo was on last month on the Success Circle, and she says, you know, with high-level influencers like yourself, high-level influencers, you don't ask to buy them coffee. You know, it's just one of those mistakes you don't do because you're busy. It's what you can give to the person. And I'm sure you get thousands and thousands of requests like that. And you would love to do it. It's just not possible given the the level you're playing in.
Yeah, I just don't have enough time. I wish I did.
Right.
And, I'm dealing with feeling guilty, not helping everybody because I have such a big heart. But it gets to a point where you're growing so much, you just can't do it, right?
Right.
Yeah. And so now I got a pat answer. You know, they say, I need you to look at me on camera. I'm happy to do that. If you'd like to, please connect with Hailee. I'm $300 for a half hour. You'll get my undivided attention. I'll cause a breakthrough with you in a half hour. If you want a full hour, it's $500. I'll look at anything in your marketing. I'll look at your profile. I'm a TV writer. I can make your writing exquisite. I can give you, give you ideas. If you need me to look at your press release, and you got to hire me. You just give your credit card to Hailee. It's going to be charged before I get on the call with you, and then we can rock it out. And all, like another way I've been dealing with it from a business standpoint, our new website's about to go out. I'm doing immediate access downloadable video. Because a lot of times I'll get a call from someone and say, hey, Sean, I'm going on camera tomorrow. Help me.
Right.
Right? Sometimes in my schedule, I can't even schedule a half hour Skype call with them because I'm busy. So right. I'm creating these videos. We're in the process of doing it right now that you can go to my website. We haven't set the price yet. I'm going to make it really inexpensive. I don't know if it's going to be $27. You get a fast download, on-demand video right then. The top six things you need to know right now if you're going on camera tomorrow and you've never been on. We've also got one for the Season Pro. You haven't been on, you know, you haven't been on camera in a while, and you just need a refresher. Boom, 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 boom. Here you go. You're in a crisis. Here's the video you download to help you right now.
Brilliant.
So that's the way we're going to meet the demands of our market.
Yep, yep. We're doing something very similar on demand. So I think that's brilliant because it happens very fast. It can happen very fast that you get on TV and you need your advice. Now you talk a lot about Twitter and Facebook and. You know, how to get people to, you know, love your page and what to do about that. How do you converge all of your marketing efforts for the biggest bank?
So let's talk about LinkedIn first. So here I've been for 5 years loving up people, connecting with them. Then I start inviting them to my webinars. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's been really, really successful for me because I have relationships with these folks. I'm going to add one other thing that I'm putting two posts a day on LinkedIn as well that get lots of engagement. And I'll tell you, talk about that in a minute. If I forget, remind me. Okay, Lisa.
Okay.
All right. So I send out these exquisitely written first person invites to come to my webinar. And it really comes down to the copy. If you've gotten the permission to engage with people, you have permission to invite them, not sell them.
Right.
Invite them to get involved and to see a webinar. And when I first started doing it, the response wasn't great because I hadn't deepened the relationships enough. You know, this was like 5 years, you know, 4 or 5 years ago. Now it's at the point I have permission to sell anything on LinkedIn. Does it mean occasionally I'll get to someone saying, well, I'd go to your webinar if it were free? I get that once in a while. I'll get an email like that. And I just say, oh, thank you. I appreciate that. What else can you say? I mean,
right.
My webinars rock. You want to go to my webinar? You're going to pay for it. I don't work for free, right?
Right.
Those so-called free webinars that give you a little bit of content and then they sell the crap out of you at the end.
Mm-hmm.
I hate that.
Mm-hmm.
I hate that. And that's why I don't do it. So I've trained people that when they come to my webinar, they know what they're going to get. They know that they're going to sit back. They're going to take no notes. Because I send them cliff notes afterwards. It's like at the beginning, like, no notes. Hang out with me. I'm just going to train you and show you. It's funny. They laugh. They're going to get rich content, and I'm not going to sell them at the end. There's nothing more to do. All I'm there is to give them the services I said I would give them, which is rich in content, and give them some entertainment and have some fun while we do it, because I'm just funny, okay?
Right,
and then in the cliff notes, what I'm starting to do now is, like, because they're really succinct and easy to follow, and I'm going to start adding little posters saying, I'm just seeing if anyone's reading these cliff notes, and then I'll put a really funny picture in there. That has nothing to do with the webinar, okay? Just like, are you really reading these darn things, you know?
Right,
and,
right.
It's really, really working well because I don't want to sell a webinar that someone's just going to buy and not listen to.
Mm-hmm.
Right? How many times have you signed up for a free webinar and not gone?
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
There's no value with free webinars unless they can highly engage folks and then just sell them a ton of $297 products at the end. That's a model that doesn't resonate for me. Everyone has their own model.
Right.
I follow Seth Godin, and that's probably one of the biggest pieces of advice I can give you is follow Seth Godin.
He's so authentic.
He is G-O-D-I-N. He's amazing. I follow his model because I just love being with him, and I feel honored, respected, and I don't feel sold to, and I naturally want to buy his stuff, period.
Yeah.
And the other thing that I do on LinkedIn that creates the engagement is in my Hootsuite, when I'm putting my 5 Twitter tweets a day, you know, from 1 to 3 o'clock, of those 10, because I got 5 for Project Forgive, 5 for Sean TV, of those 10, I pick 2 of them that are going to go in LinkedIn. So I'm multitasking. 2 will go in LinkedIn. I'll post one at 1 o'clock and 3 o'clock. I put it right in my Hootsuite. And the engagement on LinkedIn with that is amazing. It's awesome. And I include both brands. I include conversations on forgiveness and business. And I'm so non-religious and nonpartisan that I really attract a lot of people because forgiveness is one of the most universal themes that everyone can relate to, period. Oh, my gosh.
Well, and you see so many people doing the same thing over and over. They want different results, but they're not really trying. What I love about what you do, Sean, is you really send out things that are very thought-provoking, that aren't your usual, you know, that are not usual. You know, you've seen this quote, you know, you've seen quotes time and time again, you know, people rehash them over and over, and you're like, okay, I saw that 1,000 times. You pick the unusual. And I think that's what separates you personally from the rest, and why people engage with you too. And you're funny.
I appreciate that.
I mean, you send out some really funny posts. I know that if I want a good laugh, I just go on Facebook and I'm going to get one.
And you know what's funny? So a couple of things too. You use the word unusual. I would use the word authentic.
Ah, okay.
Okay, because it is unusual to be that authentic.
Yeah.
And when you find your authenticity, you it's miraculous.
Mm-hmm. And people will be drawn to it.
Oh, we so want. Don't you? I just hate a line of bull. Can't you tell when someone's giving you a line of bull, and they're so inauthentic, and the authenticity is what really sucks people in because it's authentic. You can't fake it. You know, you can't fake it.
Yeah, yeah, and it's funny because some of your Facebook posts, I'm like, oh, no, she didn't.
Yeah, and I take risks, right? I take some risks.
Yes.
Like, not so much on my business pages, but on my personal page, which is mostly business people, okay?
Yeah,
I might use the V word, the jai-jai word, okay?
Yeah.
Which is very unusual in business, and how I get away with it, and I don't do it often, okay?
Right.
I don't do it often, but I'll say, okay, this is I'll warn them, okay? Okay,
right. This
is a little risky. You might be offended. If you are, close your eyes or, you know, ignore this post. And I do that once in a while. And I can't remember what the joke was, because vagina has been a big word in Michigan legislature for quite a while here in the Michigan area, talking about this word and what the word means. And there was a really funny post that wasn't disrespectful, but it was controversial. To what I posted, you know, because some people would say, oh, I can't believe you use the word vagina in business, you know. It's even kind of odd to say it right here, but it is what it is, you know. It's a vagina. Who cares, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How do you, I mean, you know, with all that risk-taking, I think that a lot of people want to be, not a lot, but, I mean, there are people that are going to be conservative that wouldn't do that, but it might not be right for them. It might be authentic for them not to, right?
And what's your brand? It's what's authentic for you. And I share this a lot. And I know you said in my bio that I'm an incest survivor. I talk about incest quite a bit in terms of forgiveness when I talk to churches and when I do two-day boot camps or whatever. And when I first started talking about incest publicly, this was 15 years ago, I made a ton of mistakes because I was so awkward in taking the risks in oversharing. Okay? What's an overshare? Mm-hmm. You won't know how far you can go until you really screw it up and forgive yourself and say, oh, next time I talk about incest, I'm not going to talk about it like that. I'm going to talk about it like this so the audience can digest it. Because incest is a loaded topic, right?
Yeah.
You can even tell as I'm talking with you right now, my voice is softening because this is a painful topic. It's a painful topic in our culture. 1 out of 4 women is dealing with overt or covert sexual abuse, period. It's a big discussion. And whether you go as far as to talk about being molested or going bankrupt or whatever it is that you do in business, you've got to take some risks and screw it up to be able to know how far you can go. And the key is, can you forgive yourself? Most people don't go through the forgiveness part. They tighten up like a tight barnacles, like barnacles on a ship. So I'm never doing that again. No, it's like grieve your losses, man. I've done some sharing where I made huge mistakes publicly speaking and cried my eyes out like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe I didn't see that. I shouldn't have done that. That was such a risk. And then when I get through my grieving parts of it, I can say, wow, Sean, you know, did you do the best that you could with the skills that you had? The answer would be yes. Did you learn something from this? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I have more ideas how to talk about this next time, right? That would be more in line with my authenticity and my brand. And I screwed up. And I'm so excited that I was willing to take the risk to do that, period.
Mm.
And that's
beautiful.
The skill. That's the skill in risk-taking.
Yeah, you talk about, too, Sean, about forgiving the media. And I think that that's huge. Share a little bit about that.
I would love to. So the bottom line with forgiving the media, people, what people don't know, what business owners don't know, is there is no media. We're it. There is no media. Research just came out about social media that if you were to look at what kind of messages people want to see on Facebook, they want to see positive and happy. Like the bulk of the messaging is positive on Facebook, and people respond to it. The reason it's so powerful is because when we sit at our computers, we have less fear to share our opinion and share the kind of stuff we want to see. When the media steps in, like we can do the same thing with traditional media, but fear gets in the way of having to call up the media and pitch your amazing, fabulous, positive story. Because we're afraid of the media. We don't understand how they work. We think they're evil, bad, and all that good stuff. And that's just not true when you're willing to put on fresh eyes and learn the skill of media. When you learn the skill of media, just like when I sat through that email with LinkedIn, right? You see that they're doing 14 stories that day. They're just like me. They're so committed to diversity, to making a difference, to helping the public. The thing is, there's only a small percentage of people that are pitching the media. The bulk of what makes it on the air is pitched. Almost 90% of what makes it on the air is pitched. And another way to say it is news is passive. And most people have no clue that news is passive. Because our fear is so big to go to the media that we'd rather sit in social media, which is powerful all on its own. And we could cause and transform something very different in media when our fear is lowered that we can go to the media. And when
are you gonna cover some of that in your August boot camp?
It's a big piece. Absolutely. When you get you're the media, and that when you know the skills of how to work with the media, because all they are is really a vendor. A media is your vendor. They're a vendor. They're a customer. And when you treat them like that and you create the relationship, miracles happen. Oh, my gosh, they cover you over and over and over again. And collectively, the more people that are pitching positive stories, our media will change. It's present. It's obvious in our social media. We have the power. We're Dorothy clicking our heels. The game is, can you lower your fear enough to actually approach the media and take the risk of public humiliation? And most people do not want to take the risk of public humiliation. And most people are not publicly humiliated. They're not.
It's
not that hard. You know? It's really
it's not.
But and shifting your mindset about how the media works, when you discover that you're really not even forgiving the media, you're forgiving yourself because we really are the media. We are it.
And I want to point that out. People can register for your boot camp on shawnetv.com, shawnetv.com. Beautiful boot camp that I think everybody should go to. It's transformational.
Thank you.
It really is transformational.
And I have to say, it's almost sold out. So really, get your butt in there if that's something.
Great.
Because I only do one a year now.
Now, just real quick, we've got about a minute or so left. A couple secrets for people to love your Facebook fan page, not just like it. Just what are a couple things that you can recommend?
A couple of fast tips at the end of this interview. Let me think. Put up posters. Put up posters with quotes. Make sure you buy your pictures. Do not go steal pictures on the internet. That's a violation of copyright rules. That would be one major tip. Go like some other pages and look for pages that share other pages. You want to work with influencers on Facebook that also share others, and then you want to start sharing their page. Share the sharers. That would be my two last things.
Oh, beautiful. Beautiful.
Yeah.
I love it. Now, Project Forgive is so near and dear to my heart. I just love what you're doing with that. There's just so many, can you just briefly say who's going to be, you know, who you're in conversation with?
Yeah, we're a third shot. We're still doing fundraisers throughout the year. We got a big fundraiser with a pre-ordering of books. So if you go to our Facebook page, you know, facebook.com, projectforgive.com, you can pre-order our book as part of our fundraiser. It's $30. And if that inspires you to get involved, please do so. Also on our Facebook page. I just recently had a conversation with Archbishop Desmond Tutu. All right, so I've interviewed a lot of people, okay?
Wow.
And we're pretty close to having him landed and being in the show. And darn him, he won a $1.3 million grant, okay? Right. How dare he, okay? So we had to bow out, which was a bummer because we were in conversation with Paul McCartney, too. I'm really spilling the beans. And Paul McCartney's like, okay, this is interesting. Who else you got? So I'm like, woohoo, woohoo. We're going to be able to say we got Desmond Tutu. And then that, you know, didn't work out. But see, look at that process of forgiveness. I so trust that the right celebrities are going to come in on this movie.
Yep.
We're just in the process of seeing what we're going to attract because we're really attracting some good stuff. Finishing out the funding, we're a third shot. I can't wait to see what's going to happen. And I just want to encourage folks, if they want to get involved, they can pre-order our book, which comes out in January.
Wonderful. So the Facebook page is facebook.com/projectforgive, all
yes,
one
ma'am.
Word, right?
Yep.
And then they can also go to projectforgive.com.
Yeah, and see our little video, which just rocks.
Awesome.
It rocks.
Wonderful.
And
Sean, you know, this has been, you know, so wonderful. You've been so generous in sharing, too, the mistakes that you've made and how forgiveness works in marketing. And these are invaluable tips about social media, too, and how to get engagement. That's really what the core thing is about social media. So thank you so much for sharing everything today. I just so appreciate you.
My absolute pleasure. It was a delight to be here, sweet, sweet lady and sweet, sweet friend. My pleasure.
Oh, thank you. And everyone, thank you so much for coming on today's Business Accelerator call. And until next time, create a great life, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.